I must admit, having done this for a long time, a lot of folks are like afraid of the brain. The brain sort of, that's this really complex sort of thing, and I don't kind of get it. And I think if you design a model such that people can access it easily, I think you really expand the use of a lot of different providers out there able to look at and ask questions. Since I started doing this, the hardest part of the job is sitting down with a family of any age, and they look at you in the face and they look in your eyes and they say, what's this mean for my son? What's this mean for my dad? What's going to happen? So I think that part of this mapping issue is when you look at when people are impaired, that we get better information to give to families and patients. So they're armed with it.
So tell me a little bit about what UTD is doing, and you specifically, with regard to PTSD. I know you're working on disassociating fear. Tell me a little bit about that.
I'll give you an example, desert and humps. So when I say those two words, they make you think of a specific thing. All the different parts of the memory of a camel in your brain start firing in a rhythmical, synchronized fashion. Well, when we looked at how fear attaches to a memory and how it may abnormally attach, there's an area in the brain called the amygdala, and it's normally your flight or fight kind of response trigger, and it's what you normally have for a fear response. And we were working with patients with PTSD, and we had this coil called it's a magnetic coil, and what you can do with it is when you change the polarity north-south on the magnet, you induce a low-level transient sort of electrical current. We found that for every minute you do it, a minute after you're done, so if you do it for 30 minutes, for the 30 minutes after you're done, you can take this abnormal, frightening fear memory associated with PTSD of this horrible event that happened and turn it into a dealable kind of fear.
You are working on a link between concussions and mood disorders. A lot of people link concussions with memory loss or eventual Alzheimer's disease. You're talking specifically about mood disorders and depression. Can you explain that?
Sure. It's another group of great guys who volunteered to do this. These are a bunch of retired NFL players. When you hit your head and your brain is moving around because it's floating in fluid, you could stretch the white matter, and that could cause problems. So we would think we can find a way to link that together and get guys into treatment, because the guys we found with depression, 75% of them didn't know they were depressed because the symptoms look different in what you call a concussion-related mood disorder. And surprisingly, as people are out there testing, everybody after they've had a concussion, there's very little testing of mood. Everybody's asking about memory. I mean, I'm a memory doc, so I'm not discounting it, but the bigger symptom may well be, and the symptom that's easily treatable, I mean, we do really well treating depression in individuals, is to find out at the high school level, college level, every level, is there problems with things like sleep or energy or weight or getting started on things or finishing things, which are these other symptoms of depression besides crying that folks have and that are easily treatable. So that's a different finding than we expected to have, but it's, I think it's a really important one, and to get the word out to folks.